Hello, this is Jason Nevro. You're listening to Cohen Monk Mormon. And, you know, I don't really listen to this stuff after I record it. This is not heavily produced, I gotta tell you. But there's a little bit of snap and crackle. It's just disconcerting. So I made one small adjustment, which is about the only adjustment I can really make in my setup. And we're going to see if it makes things a little bit better. I don't want to have to modulate my voice particularly, because I think that kind of makes me less alive. And so I'm going to do what I normally do, which is eat a little bit while I'm traveling. Talk about something that came to mind yesterday. It's something that I, if I was going to do my doctorate, and I had looked at it a little bit at Ubiquity University, do a doctor of ministry, or the actual thing is called engaged wisdom, which is a little bit, the whole thing at Ubiquity University is just a little bit kooky. That probably goes along with me pretty well, because I'm a little kooky too. But I'd be quite interested in this idea called family sovereignty. And a labor needed to increase family sovereignty. I'd say at least in the West. I don't really know if it happens in other cultures outside of communism and socialism, that any other governance or power chooses to invade families, choose to exercise control over families. Of course, when I say family, it is absolutely what's been called the nuclear family. It used to not be these terms, you know. Before, people were trying to, for instance, legitimize sodomy. And public same-sex attraction. There wasn't the term of homosexuality and the other term of heterosexuality, of which I'm neither. I am a Lisa sexual. I've only had intimate relations with my wife, Lisa. I don't know if there's better sex to be had in other places. So I just haven't done it. Haven't pursued it. Haven't made the study. And not intending to. The point of marriage is to be completely faithful. The whole idea of spouse. There's a husband and there's a wife. I don't know what the spouse thing is, except to try to make it generic. So you can slip anything in there. Person of your same gender, an animal, gracious. A lot of these things have crept up. The idea of the nuclear family, because there should be the possibility of other families. And you go, I disagree. Because only a family led by a married couple that stands as, I don't know what to call it, guardians? That's low too. More low terms. You almost can't talk about these things without using low terms. It's like 1984 newspeak. That lead a family that consists of themselves, their biological children, and perhaps some adopted children. That's family. And I'm sorry, sometimes you just have to go back and you have to reject other forms. It's like when I was talking about transgenderism. Sometimes you just have to reject other forms. And that's what I do. These other constructs are not families. Give them other names. I don't care. Household might be okay. Of course, people come and go out of households. People do not come and go out of families, particularly. And it highlights the whole purpose of families to begin with. You have children, not that they stay children forever or stay suckling at the family teat as adult children. You're not taken seriously until you actually become an adult yourself. And the gateway to adulthood is marriage. Then having your own family. Then you lead your family. A husband and wife together leading their family. Doing what needs to be done. Using the particular gifts and capabilities of each parent. Melded together. That's the way it's supposed to be. And to set up anything else and say, oh, well, this could be just as good or not as good. We keep getting, I read again and again and again, the fact that other forms are clearly, clearly inferior. And that there's a really good reason why God said, this is family. Man and woman joined together. Bound in covenant with God to bring spirits into the world. This is how it works. We've talked about the afterlife quite a bit. Maybe it's time to start talking about the other end, pre-earth life. We had an existence before we came to this earth. We will continue to have an existence after we come to this earth. This earth is like the snap of your fingers for a time period. It can be compared to a lot of things. Boot camp for the military. Going through a really interesting experience, whether it's really good or bad. Going off to summer camp, maybe, might be compared to that. To compare to what I can't say that. It's like going off to college. Finally getting away from your parents so that you can be your own person, but seeing what choices you'll make. And one of the most important choices you make, the sad part is that one of the bigger choices now is to be married in the first place. So many people are kind of eschewing it, saying, I'd rather not get married. I don't want to go through the hassle. And you're going, well, is it a hassle? And you go, yeah. It is, but the greatest joys come from it. The greatest service you do is to your husband, to your wife. Because you guys are joined at the hip. You have to learn how to live with each other. The best thing to do is learn to appreciate each other. Now, the whole point is you have to kind of rise to the level of being able to be appreciated. You know, that's, we have far too many people that don't have, that don't lift themselves up, that don't become more than what they were, because one of the prime ways that that happens is through marriage and living up to, for men at least, I always work from the men's perspective because I'm a man. Oh. Trying to get some girl to marry you and a girl with some standards, and she's gonna want things from you. That's one thing that my wife is all about. That's a woman that's got standards, and I've had to live up to them and do a better job. Am I doing a wonderful job? I don't know. That's for her to decide, and to be a good. And to be a good father. And I don't know what my kids say. Some of my kids say good things, although they're quite reticent. And I understand that. I either taught them or they got that from me. If you're going to get a compliment from my kids, that means something, because they just weren't raised to just pour out a lot of compliments. And that you have taught them to seek good, to be good, to desire good, and to move forward and to do good things, even in tough circumstances. And I don't know. Some people say that this is the toughest part of life it's ever been, and I'm not sure I agree. I think a lot of people in the past had it tougher than we did. I don't know if my parents really did. I think my grandparents had it tough. I think my great-grandparents had it especially tough. They were very much a pioneering a group of people going to a new land, untamed, and taming it. We had a family ranch. No, we sold it a while back, but that was the great, the great accomplishment of my great-grandfather. And he went through a lot. There, he had three daughters that grew to maturity. We only have recently, apparently it's quite painful, he had also two other children that died either in infancy or even younger, and recently found out that they existed. And boy, let me tell you, it was rough. Didn't know these people existed. My mom didn't know they existed, and she was quite upset to see the evidence. There's gravestones with these children's names on them. Obviously, her aunt and uncle that she didn't know she had. And it's kind of rough to know that was kept from her. Her mother and her aunts did not share this knowledge, apparently, with her. Rough. Rough, but those were hard times. Tough things came from family. My great-great-grandmother died in birthing the third daughter. So my great-great-grandfather remarried. And that was the woman, she was quite young, who raised the three daughters, but they tried to have children together, and it just didn't work out, and I guess ultimately stopped. And that must have been so difficult. Just tough. And trying to get back to the whole topic of family sovereignty, which is something that really shouldn't. 200 years ago, the concept didn't exist because families were sovereign. Governments and judges and people like that did not get involved in family life. I remember leftists pining horribly about the fact that there were animal cruelty laws on the books, but not any books about cruelty to children. Ultimately, the very first punishments that were dealt out by governments, at least in the United States, for instance, were done under the auspice of animal cruelty, that parents couldn't treat their children in cruel ways. And that gave huge explosion of government meddling, interference in family life. Now you got to know, as usual, that always kind of comes with this. It was basically a way to punish the powerless, to break the family among the powerless. You got to know how ultimately powerful families were among the upper classes, still are. Family loyalty is still quite an absolute. And things that could be called cruelty or abuse or neglect, there's so many different things that now you can pin on parents to take away their right to raise their children the way they wish. Most parents don't even bother trying to do this anymore, because they will get, they'll get in trouble. You're supposed to hand your kid over to the schools, and the schools raise your children. Of course, get indoctrinated with all kinds of strange things now. Not that that wasn't true in the past, but it seemed like we had a societal kind of compact about what we were going to be teaching children, and most of the parents signed on to that or were part of enforcing it. Schools really used to be kind of a meeting of parents. Parents would come together and form a school. They would be taxed for making it happen, but they still had what was called local control. Now we've seen very, very strictly that that's not true anymore. School boards routinely don't do what parents want to have done, much more ruled by pressure groups, which is what things like gay rights, transgender right groups are just pressure groups. And they've gotten very good at applying these pressures. You really need to, I say and you don't. Jeez. I'm not much of a conservative at all. I'm very liberal. But in my form of liberalism, classic liberalism, you don't give over much power at all to the civil authority. You retain them as people. And I say retain them as families. The most powerful people are products of strong, sovereign families and create strong, sovereign families. Now, you can do a bunch of examples of successful people who haven't done that, but they're not going to really pass on these things unless they do this. Elite schools where elite families teach their children are very much about this, very much about the most important decision you'll ever make is who you marry and how low it is to divorce. Our pension these days, our excitement about no-fault divorces and marriages basically wrapped up in, infatuation, sexual allure, stuff like that. Those are elements of a marriage, quite nice ones, but you have to put your wife or your husband first above all those considerations. You have a private life between you that you really don't discuss with others. It's very much in the realm of God. Is God married? Of course he is. Cannot become a God without being joined, man to woman, in that contract, covenant bond of marriage. Can't have children. And this wraps it up with the whole, with all the other things that I've been talking about. How do you get exaltation? All these glories. How do you go for the celestial kingdom? How do you go for the highest level of the celestial kingdom? The most obvious sign of your interest in this is marriage. And pouring yourself into that marriage. Becoming one with that person. We call our God Heavenly Father. Is there a Heavenly Mother there? Of course. Do we know anything about her? Of course not. Why? Because their relationship is private. We don't know how much of our experience with God comes from the father part and the mother part. You have to understand. Previous days, because of the way our language works, at least English does, we threw father in there. Elohim, the Hebrew term for God the Father, or the Hebrew representation of the God that we call the Father, is plural. It is a group. Can I give you a little hint? It's a couple. Joined so tightly, working together so much as one, they are one. I don't know the intricacies of Jewish lexicon, but it seems like Elohim is this weird thing that is a plural and a singular. And I think that's how marriage should be. It's two people, but they act as one. They go together. And that's simply the way it is. And that this, up until about 200 years ago, when child cruelty laws were enacted in the United States, the couple-led family was sovereign. The government did not get involved in family matters. Children were the total purview of family, their parents, with some guidance from other parents. Not saying it was beautiful, not saying it was wonderful. Anybody who thinks government can do a better job really has seen or been a part of, I think, the system that is supposed to be some kind of a substitute for the family when it has determined that the family is broken. Of course, there's a whole industry around family reunification, but it's under the tight control of government do-gooders. I've been in these situations. I've been that kind of a person. I had those jobs, and partly that's why I have such a distaste for them. they can say, what a wonderful thing happens, and they try to point out their success stories. And there are some. Do families, by and large, do a better job than the system? Collectively? Yes. Families do a better job. Better raised, better succeeding, better adulted. Now, there's another stupid term that we've come up with, adulting. Comes from the whole idea that you're only an adult sometimes. The rest of the time, you're still this snot-nosed kid. It really needs to get a good cuff to the head. But you can't do that anymore. Society has taken away more and more power from families to regulate their children. Oh, and the personal pain that I've had, maybe even inflicted on some of my older children, you're trying to figure these things out. I was going to school to be a do-gooder, to kind of be kind of a social worker sort. And I was drinking some Kool-Aid. I eventually got out of my system and I stopped doing that. I don't know if I did well as a father. Every father is different. I think it's difficult to rate them. I think those who try to rate them don't usually have the best things at heart, and that's why we do family sovereignty. You just go, you know what? Let a husband and wife figure out how they're going to raise their kids. Figure out, find that place. The more they talk and the more that they express themselves to each other, hopefully the better it gets. Although I can't really say definitively about any of that, you know? So much is said about what constitutes good parenting and what constitutes bad parenting. And to be honest, as I've looked at it, now some years past, very hands-on parenting. All my children are now adults, or at least mature, past 18. My youngest kids are 23. I really saw how weird and sometimes even, oh no, they're all very manipulative programs. Most of them are made for very poor and relatively uneducated people. You know, the kinds of programs that get stuck on you when the social workers have come, they have decided to charge you with something, some judge is put in place about it, and these are the kinds of programs you get sent to try to make you a better parent. And the really, really, when it says better, it means just more socially acceptable. I am very grateful that most of these efforts are really poorly funded. That's great. The less money these organizations have to interfere with family life, the more freedom that gives each family to conduct themselves in a way that they see fit. And when I talk about they, I mean the parents. If you really want to have a democratic thing where the children has where children have a lot of rights, where most of the decisions are made by the children, these things aren't going to go very well. It's a bad thing. One of the biggest problems of our day is that parents have been instructed to be really hands off. Children who are deciding that they're not their biological sex at younger and younger ages, and parents not intervening to say, well, you're a child. Your opinion about it really doesn't matter. You need to become the best person you can be with the equipment you have been given. You don't need to start screwing around acting like you're something that you're not. Life is difficult enough, and it doesn't need to be complicated by the fact that you can't decide what sex you are. Thank goodness it's biological, and you can't make a decision this way or that way. If you've got a penis, you better learn how to be an adult male. Childhood is put there to, well, it's not put anywhere. Childhood is a place where you're going to learn how to become an adult. And that's the goal. Marriage, family, that's it. What kind of garbage is all this? Are they signaling to somebody? I don't know. Anyway. I get this feeling they're signaling about me, but I don't get it often enough. Anyway, I'm on the road. I'm just about ready to get off. And what family sovereignty ultimately is a concerted effort to get government out of family, to stop having these things be done. They're doing a poor job. Their influence is setting off this weirdness. It's being used as a wedge to make this weirdness happen. Sorry, it's not happy. Very much everybody says, oh, families are so weak and broken. And you go, yeah, you guys weakened it. You guys broke it. And now you're saying, well, these children are all screwed up and they blame parents. And you're going, you basically neutered parents. That was your first activity. And so you can't blame the failure of all this on them. You've got to blame it on these institutions that have been set up, usually by the people who are screaming and yelling about how unfair the world was or how much they wish their parents would have. You know, usually it's primarily economic. I noticed that my older children frame a lot of their anger at me, which is right. That's okay. If they're going to be angry at anybody, they better the heck be angry at me, not my wife. And that was made very clear. It said, you know, says you don't disrespect your mother. But I gave them the opening that if they were going to choose to be disrespectful, they better do it towards me. I don't know if that was a good idea or not. I'm sure people would come back and say, that was a bad idea. And you go, well, who cares? I did it. That was my choice. And that's the way it went. Most of my older kids were quite upset about the fact that they did not have elite lives, that they didn't have all the wonderful stuff that other kids had. Me and my wife were really weird about debt. We didn't want to go into debt very well. We did at the beginning. We didn't go very deep, thank goodness. When we chose to get out of it, it wasn't as hard as it was for some people. You know, I remember when people would talk about debt, how much in debt they were in. I was just gobsmacked by how, wow, you know, we were maybe in debt by some thousands of dollars. I don't think it ever went much over 5,000 maybe. And these guys were in debt like, you know, 70, 100. $200,000 in debt, trying to give their kids, you know, the best of everything. That was back when the sign of being a good person or being a good parent was giving your kids every advantage and throwing, you know, and getting them the best clothes, the best shoes, so that they would be able to, so they wouldn't get picked on at school. And my wife and I did not get into this at all. And we got out of debt, and we've been out of debt ever since. And because we're out of debt, there's just a whole lot of things that we don't do, that we never really got into and never really did. And so do we have a lot of really amazing things? No, we don't. You know, did all of our kids get cars at their school graduation? No. You know, one of my children got a car later on, one of the older ones. You know, I was trying to do good things for them, I suppose. And well, I think it was kind of a mistake after the fact. Anyway, so, you know, and that's kind of the milieu that everybody's kind of gotten into, is this whole thing. I'm going to have to go through the gate here shortly. And the peer pressure is terrible among parents to do and to be and to do all those things.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I am doing just fine. How are you?
I'm
glad to hear that.
You are all set.
Thank you. So, you really have to fight hard, and there's going to be a lot of forces acting against you. There's going to be a lot of parents that are going to be really kind of pasty-faced, just not being very impressive at all, but yet giving you crap because you're not doing your parenting the way they are. The ones who are so supportive of their children getting sexual voyeurism, stuff like that, and actually encouraging it. And it's like, this is sick. I'm the first one to say, this is sickening. Really, the only sovereignty that's being sought these days is not to get in the way of deviant parents raising perverse children. And the sad part is like in the past where animal cruelty laws were used to actually make sure that kids weren't treated cruelly, we might have to use decency laws toward other things to win back sovereignty for families that are becoming a smaller proportion of life, which is at the center of what this is all about. Exaltation is accomplished by families. There is no other group that survives into the eternities except for sealed together families, mostly couples sealed together. And that has to be brought up. And I heard in General Conference that we are exalted as groups, and you're going, whoa, you guys are making it sound like you can form your own little group and that group together can work on exaltation. That's not right. That's not going to work. That group is not eternal. The only eternal groups there are couples and their children. And that's man and wife couples. The strangest thing is you always have to qualify it now because everybody thinks that almost everything can happen. Me and my dog are going to seek exaltation together because we love each other so much. And you go, you don't know what that dog's thinking. You don't have a freaking clue. And that's not the way that God does it. God is not going to accept that kind of a pair and give it the same legitimacy as a man and a woman sealed together. Anyway, I need to let that go. There's family sovereignty. at least a little bit of talk about it. Not that I'm inclusive or bring it all together very well, as I rarely do. This is Cohen Monk Mormon. I'm Jason Nemro. Let me give you my blessing, the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance toward you and bring you peace.